This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Eamon from Scrimmage Play. We're here to talk playoff football, man. Last week of the regular season, time to start looking at playoff scenarios, time to start talking about who's in, who's out. And it's a pretty, we've got kind of a unique set of circumstances going on right now. And there's some teams that, you know, maybe have more to play for than you think. Louisa County has had, let's start there. Louisa has had a really good year, and now they might need to win this one against Charlottesville in order to hold on to a home playoff game, because they are in a sectionalized bracket in Region 4A East.
Go figure. You come in at 8-1 and you need to win this game, and you're now going up against a team that has to win to get into their playoff bracket. So there's very little lame duck football being played in this final week here, which is, you know, it's a great thing for the fans, but it's a little bit stressful if you're a Louisa County where you've had this magical run and all you want is a home playoff game. That's all you're trying to do. You're not even asking for the top seed in your region, and it is a struggle to get that.
It's pretty amazing. Just, yeah, like you said, like you're 8-1. Like, it should be like, hey, maybe we're resting guys.
And against a great out-of-conference schedule. I mean,
yeah, they played everybody.
They did a great job. So they've done all they can. I guess all they had to do is go perfect to get that home playoff game. You don't see that often, but we've had this in situations before. There was a 2009, we had an undefeated Buckingham County team go on the road to face Gretna, which is a state runner-up almost every year. That's your reward for a 10-0 season. Sometimes this happens, and Louise has sort of been an unlucky year, it seems like, right now.
It's very tough, but that makes the Louisa-Charlottesville matchup really exciting. Charlottesville absolutely playing for their playoff life. They're playing to get in, and they need that win to get there. There's, you know, maybe some scenario in the math where they could not get in, but Charlottesville needs a W. They need to get it done, and they looked really good last week. Maybe they can keep that momentum going.
Yeah, Charlottesville's playoffs started last week. And they had to have that win over Western, a team that's sort of given them trouble. There have been some great rivalry games between those two. But getting over the hump and winning in a big way there, huge deal for that program. And now they got to go do it against Louisa County, who, when you look at the way these two teams match up, it's just going to be a war out there. It is big kids running straight at it. It's a car crash just waiting to happen.
Prize fight of a game.
Yep.
There's no question about this one. It's Malik Bell. It's Joe Whalen. I mean, what Malik Bell did last week was nuts. The injury,
really gutsy.
The injury he suffered against Monticello was, it did not look great. It kind of hung in the field turf. Really difficult situation. They had to carry the guy to the team huddle. Then they had to, like, carry him off. I mean,
And it wasn't just drama for the sake of drama. He wasn't practicing hard at all.
No.
I mean, he was sitting there watching the team practice while he's not in pads. So this is an injury he had to sort of fight through. You can tape up your ankle, but it doesn't make it feel all that much better.
No, Malik Bell is one tough customer. No question about it. To come out and carry the ball like 31 times against an Orange County team that is super physical. Like, you are not getting, you're not breaking off like 10, 11, 12 yards. Like, you're getting that thing in 4 and 3 and 5, if you're lucky, yard chunks. Mm-hmm. And he did it. I mean, just an incredible, gutty performance by that guy.
I think it's cool that Louisa gets to play two of these games in a row. Not so great from an injury standpoint. This is where the wear and tear really starts to add up. But, man, when they go to the playoffs, they will be ready for physical football when you get Orange and then Charlottesville back-to-back.
And they're going to need it, because they're going to have tough matchups out of the gate. If they can beat Charlottesville, they end up as the 4. Like, they're going to have a tough opponent right out of the gate.
Well, and we think Division 4 football is some of the best that you're going to find. The teams, we've seen Lake Taylor before.
Yep.
We saw Lafayette in years past. Yeah. There's some absolute bruisers. Sorry, Lafayette's Division 3. But
no, they're now up in 4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but we've seen that. That's one of the best teams in 3, and they got moved up to 4. That's the team that eliminated Western a few years ago in the state semifinals. But it's physical, tough football. 4A is very difficult. Louisa's going to be ready if they've got enough guys to get there by that point. And they're really beat up right now, but they just keep finding ways to get it done. Really impressive performance by them. Charlottesville, they are actually getting healthier right now. Trey Durrett came back last week. Rakeem Davis got into a big-time groove.
Yeah.
3 touchdowns. Really, really impressive effort from him. So you got to feel pretty good about, you know, Charlottesville's kind of clicking, but Louise is such a tough matchup. They keep finding ways to win. Very tough play-in game, essentially, for Charlottesville.
The good news, like you said, for Charlottesville is that they get to add a little more diversity to their offense. Trying to just put it all on the shoulders, offensively at least, with Sabias Follies. I mean, that's a difficult task for an offensive line to create the same holes over and over and asking this, you know, beast of a running back to barrel through it every single play. It's just not something that you want to do from a game plan standpoint. And opening things up with Davis last week was huge for them. He delivered the nails in the coffin there. Yeah, like you said, adding Trey Durrett, only going to make this team better.
No question. So really exciting game there. One thing we did want to note with Louisa County, we've got a little bit of an origin story that we've confirmed at this point. There was a lot of talk last week of the Battle of the Gordonsville Tasty Freeze, sort of the classic nickname for the Louisa Orange matchup. And I think that there's been a number of different stories floating around about who kind of came up with it, you know, where it kind of like took off. But it appears that we've nailed it down. Tommy Nelson, who is the radio partner Dickie Purcell out at Louisa County, they started on the radio in '82. There, and it was about 20 years ago that people think that Tommy Nelson is the one who coined the term Battle for the Gordonsville Tasty Freeze. So we've nailed that down. Those guys have been on the radio, then they've been on public access TV, now they're on the internet. Just an incredible wealth of knowledge that they kind of bring to the table, institutional knowledge that's been there forever, and really fun to see and now to know where that actually came from, because I think we've heard a couple of different stories over the years.
Yeah, and it's one of those colloquialisms that have sort of, it's, I think, everyone's favorite of the rivalry.
It's a
names.
Really great nickname for a rivalry. More rivalries need nicknames. If you've got nicknames for rivalries, we want to hear them. They need more of them.
The local flair that it adds to it, I mean, it's not something where it's just like a battle for something. It's a physical spot you can drive by every single day. It's not a battle for an axe. It's not a battle for, you know, just something that you, some trophy you just made up. So I like that element of it. And we've seen all the coaches in this rivalry play with it. The kids throw it around all the time. And obviously we in the media can't get enough of it.
So. No question about it. So origin story settled. Moving on to other teams that are on the bubble, sort of fighting for their life. Blue Ridge is going to be playing for its life when they kind of take on Trinity Episcopal this weekend. That's a big game for Blue Ridge. I thought mathematically they were kind of in, and they pretty much are, because Isle of Wight
take a lot of weird things to happen.
Isle of Wight has to get a lot of help to jump them, and that's the difficult, you know, that's the one that's sort of hanging out there for them. Isle of Wight has to get a win, then they got to get help just to jump Blue Ridge. But what's really interesting is that Blue Ridge, with some help up front, can actually move up. Blue Ridge could position itself a little bit better. So they need a win. They run into a Trinity Episcopal team that's the two-time defending D2 champions, but now is D1. So
and lost a lot of talent.
Lost a ton of talent. So winnable game if Blue Ridge can come out and kind of play their game, play their sort of physical, you know, I mean, that two-headed monster, running back and quarterback with Armwood and Harrison, very difficult to stop, but they're going to have to get into a groove quickly, because Trinity Episcopal has played these kind of games before. There may be a lot of new faces, but there's a lot of talent still there, and they've played these kind of games. Their coach, Sam Mickens, he knows how to handle these kind of games, and it's going to be interesting to see. Blue Ridge kind of needs to come out sort of guns blazing in this one.
Yeah, and the good news for Blue Ridge is that they have been kicking in people's heads right now. They're just steamrolling teams.
Yeah.
The other thing that the matchup-wise, you look at Trinity Episcopal has been giving up a lot of 60 spots in some of these Division I games. Now, when you get that number from Woodbury, you're not that surprised. That's one of the top teams in the state going up against a team trying to make a Division I resume. That's the result you expect. But we'll see if they can line up with Blue Ridge, try and keep things in the 30s. I don't know, maybe in the 40s.
Yeah.
They're feeling comfortable there. Blue Ridge defensively, I know they've been, from a competitive level, way above the teams that they're playing. Yeah. But they're posting shutouts.
It's a loaded Blue Ridge squad. They're a lot of fun to watch. Nazir Hobson per year. A lot of names that have been around for a while. I mean, this is a seasoned Blue Ridge team, as I've seen.
So they've got it going on both sides of the coin. It seems like they're peaking at the right moment here. They win this game, and they win it convincingly. I think we're gonna see an interesting playoff take place. I mean, a rematch between them and North Cross,
Yeah, they can get to that point.
It was a sloppy game, but there were a lot of injuries and weird things playing out early in September. Blue Ridge was not nearly 100%. Armwood got hurt. Obviously, that was a big factor in that game. We'll see if we can get a rematch of that. And you look at the top four, the way it used to be, a bit of a changing of the guard in Division II, especially with Trinity moving out.
A lot of this is a realignment, man. It changed things.
In the top four this year the way they have been for the last two or three years. I mean, it's a little bit different. North Cross, Atlantic Shores, Blue Ridge, and then.
Look out, North Cross, we got to see him last week against Covenant. Miles Lohman can really play at quarterback.
They got a freshman running back that's just a horse.
He's really, really tough. He got to handle his business. And they got a really good line that moves people around well. They've got a couple of deep threats, a couple of real tall receivers. Bailey out on the outside. He's been there for a while. We've been writing about him. He's been showing up in weekly briefing as a player to watch from an opposing team pretty often, you know, for the last few years. And so North Cross really is a tough matchup. If Blue Ridge can get to that point, but the, you know, we got a long way to go before we get there.
Yep.
But certainly would be something that I think everybody would like to see. Is that that sort
certainly
of
if you're Blue Ridge?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Blue Ridge is like another shot at them. So another team that's on the bubble and really has a tough road to climb is Monticello. They would likely get in with a win over Palatine, but that is a tall task right now with the way Palatine's playing and with how that matches up with Monticello.
Yeah. Powhatan's such a physical force up front. Justin DeLeon is, I mean, he is, we joked about it at the beginning of the year, we don't know if they have Ray Brown back there. He's pretty close, man. He's pretty close. So Monticello has to find a way to stop that. I guess the good news for them is their schedule has been so backloaded with tough opponents, and they've actually been rising to the occasion. What they threw at Albemarle last week, especially defensively, I mean, they laid it all out in the field there. So that's a good sign from them. They just got to find a way to get a couple more big plays. It can't be all Kevin Jarrell. They need help. And the difference in that Albemarle game is when Jarek Ayers starts making big plays, when that passing game starts to get going, they're a much better team. So against Powhatan, they're going to have to play close to perfectly defensively. Powhatan's going to control that clock like they always do. They're just going to grind on you. They've got such a big offensive line. You're going to have to get creative in how you attack their rushing attack. But yeah, I mean, the opportunity is there. Now you just got to rise to the occasion.
Another team that is kind of in an interesting playoff situation is William Monroe. They're actually seeded 11th, or they're not seeded, they're rated 11th in their region, in the 3A East. But that bracket, like Louise's, is sectionalized. We explained a lot of this on the site today. Certainly worth reading if you want to get real wonky about, you know, VHSL playoff setups, if that's really your thing, you're super into it. But bottom line is, William Monroe, with a win over Strasburg, would surely get a home game, which at 11, you know, they would be in a 16-team bracket. They'd be three games out of a home game, but they seem set that they could, you know, win and they're at home. Maybe lose and they're at home, frankly. Thomas Jefferson loses too, then they could be sitting there, but it looks like those two will be 4-5, which is kind of fascinating. That's big for William Monroe. I think it'd be the first home playoff game since what?
2011. That was a big streak that they snapped there. They hadn't made the playoffs in almost 20 years when that happened. And so that was a first round exit. We'll see if they can try and reverse that fortune this time around.
Pretty wild.
Strange season for the Dragons. They have just been so. There's been so much back and forth.
That's a bipolar football team, man. I mean, they're way out there. Some weeks, they're just... I mean, it's a different guy getting it done every week, it seems like. I mean, one week, it was Sizemore. You know, another week, it's Shackford. You know, each week, they seem to find, like, some new guy that kind of steps up and makes plays. Last week, there was a guy who was getting it done all over the place in a lot of different spots. So, and Cameron McCain, he's been really good out of wideout. They've got some pieces. They're the kind of team that can put things together at the right time. Who knows? I don't think that's – it doesn't look like that region is particularly strong. I think – or that half of the bracket is particularly strong. Maybe up top, certainly. I think it's Hopewell, which is nothing really.
Hopewell, Phoebus.
Yeah, and so I think that might be their second round. But, you know, they've got some work to do once they kind of get passing. But, you know, potentially they could be looking at a first-round win. They're certainly at home. You know, things get interesting for William Monroe. But the other team that's looking at a historic type game is Alkmaar. This, we haven't really gone too in depth on it yet, but this is an Alkmaar team that is actually putting together a really special season, a season that we haven't really seen. We haven't seen, legitimately, we just haven't seen in a long time from the Patriots.
Not from this program. No, it's we saw a really nice run from them in 2013. That snap. Almost a decade worth of losing seasons, basically. This year, the play, and the nice thing is that the coaching staff has informed the players. The talk after beating Monticello last week among all the players was about this is a historic season with that win. Now that you get one more, and you're really talking, because now you're talking again, a home playoff game. They're sitting there in that fifth spot in Region 5A North. It seems like everything's in their favor, but you never know how things work out. They win, they're safe.
Win, they're safe, no question about it.
But 8-2 puts them in uncharted Alkmaar waters. We've seen some 6-4 teams, just completely different. And last year they had the opportunity to get to this mark. They were sitting there at 6-2, and they just fell down the stretch. Finished up at 6-5. This year, another opportunity, and it looks like they're coming through. You got to be happy with the way. Since the Louisa game, they've just been on a tear. And there's a moment in that Charlottesville game where they're in deep trouble. Maybe their season goes a completely different way if they don't find a way to turn around against the Black Knights there.
And the guy who gets it done, to me, like I love what Jaquan Anderson brings to the table as a quarterback. But to me, it's Jamal Thompson at running back. And Jamal Thompson, he's the one who had that pick that essentially did it in Charlottesville.
And his game against Powhatan is just, I mean, forget about it.
It's unreal. And he had a great game again against Monticello. Jamal Thompson, maybe it's somehow flown under the radar, I think, in some ways. I mean, he's a guy who, he just shows up every day and he takes care of business. He, you know, has played behind lines that have been, you know, not been super dominant. You know, they just haven't. This is a good Alkmaar offensive line. Mm-hmm. It's certainly serviceable.
It's gonna be even better next year.
They make tough plays. They're still young, but they make some blocks. They open some seams. But Thompson is a guy who, like, he does not complain. He doesn't. He just keeps plugging in there. I think it's really impressive.
They've really been sort of leaning on him to get senior leadership out of him.
The reason why Anderson is dangerous on the edge is because Thompson's in that middle pounding away. Like, he is softening things up. He is forcing them to leave. Those middle linebackers can't jump to the outside. Number one, like, it's really hard. Just so we're clear, it's hard to catch Jaquan Anderson on the edge no matter what. But they can't jump to the outside. They can't overplay it to the outside because Thompson is going to be there making them pay. He's getting it 4 yards or 5 yards. The guy's average isn't off the charts, but he's always making those kind of plays. Really kind of underrated guy.
Yeah, and it's a huge deal. It's allowed Albemarle to they've won just about every different way during this winning streak. Last week is a defensive battle. You got to give a shout-out to Zykel Foster and those guys, the way they got the job done. The week before, it's all about Anderson and Thompson just pounding the ball against Powhatan. Albemarle's winning defensive games, and they're winning shootouts. That's the sign of a program that has it together.
Yeah. Super fun to watch. Alkmaar, you know, hopefully they've got a lot more football to play when it really comes down to it. But Western has been a real problem for them. And we got to talk, Western has been a really unique team this year, too. They've been really fun to watch, to be honest, because they're just developing. It's a lot of growth with what Western's doing out there. So many new faces plugged into new spots. And they're kind of making things hum out there. It's a lot of fun to watch. Derek Domek has, you know, started to find like what he can do at quarterback and understand and play within the system. Each game, you know, each week he seems to have gotten a little bit better. The Charlottesville stumble last week, I think that was a lot of factors. Charlottesville had a lot to play for in that one. They were really amped up, knew they had to win that one or it was probably over. And they got the rep back. Just sort of a perfect storm that they kind of ran into there. But Western versus Alkmaar has been, that's always a good game. It's been a stumbling block where, you know, Alkmaar has just had some trouble against them. And this, it'll be interesting to see, you know, interesting to see how that one plays out.
Yeah, like you said, sort of the thorn in the side kind of thing that's been going on. But the two match up, Western's been winning these games as of recently. But that used to be Albemarle's rivalry. They come in at 9-8 in terms of meetings. So it's even in terms historically, but recently it hasn't been so much. And I think Western kind of falls into that that same Venn diagram that Monroe does, where you just don't know what you're going to get from them week to week because they can be really, really good. This is
the way they beat Louisa. Yeah, a
that's
team that's good enough to beat Louisa, honestly, I don't care what was going on injury-wise with Louisa. I don't care what was going on. But, like, that's a team that's good enough to compete and make a deep run in the 3A West. I'm convinced
of that. They're in there in the mix with Charlottesville holding up, and then all of a sudden it slides away. So we've seen Western is they've got that volatility where they can just explode.
Yeah.
They've got the weapons offensively to do so. It's just a matter of getting that consistency out of them, and that's what happens to young teams. In this case, somewhat inexperienced teams.
Waynesboro a few years back during the time where Western made the big run in the state semifinals is the only example you need about how the 3A West is just nuts. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen. You just got to get in that spot and make some plays because
just
top to bottom, it's a strange
Stan group. River the next year. I mean, that was a crazy run that they put together.
Stan River, yeah. That's one of the more... Okay, so a volatile team like Western playing in a really volatile region.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. I think Western, yeah, don't be shocked. I mean, it wouldn't be stunning if they're able to kind of put things together. But they've got to bring that consistency. They've got to find it every week. They got to play like they did against Louisa every single week.
Well, and one thing I do like about this matchup is I feel like these two teams, in terms of their offensive play style, are the most similar. Sort of Monticello has gone a little bit more towards the run. Away from the pass, but both these teams can whip the ball around the field.
Yeah, I think
this isn't like Louisa and Orange with a power running game that's going to always fuel them. They've got a little bit of flair to them, a little more flash.
And you're talking like real recently with like Ayers.
Yes.
Just getting Monticello's back to that a little. But Monticello early in the year, they're just slinging the ball all over the place. Gerald's been, you know. I know the record's not there, but Gerald's been playing awfully well.
Yeah,
the guy's been fantastic. Reed Hoffman, I mean, he's come along as a pass catcher. If they can get a couple more guys in the mix, a lot of those guys are back next year. Monticello one to watch for sure.
Right. Getting back to the Western Albemarle sort of comparison, I just like the way that lines up. I think you're going to have a little bit of a back and forth.
There's so many skill guys.
Yeah. And big thing for Albemarle, Tyquan Rowe is going to be back. Had to sit out a week because he got dinged up pretty good in that Powhatan game.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. And Lorenz Brown is playing out of his mind at receiver right now. He was sort of
true
on
breakout
island,
year for that guy.
On an island last week, but when him and Rose are both on the field, you could see Powhatan in that game was very distraught that Brown was able to make so many plays because they had to keep Rose blanketed. They had no choice. So this is an Albemarle offense that's got a lot of weapons. We've talked about Western's offense, how many weapons they have. Obviously, young quarterback, first-year starter there. We're going to see, I think, a pretty good show out of these two, at least if recent history suggests anything, because there have been some absolute nail-biters in this one.
Crazy week of football ahead, no question about it. I think that kind of sums up most of, you know, what everybody's facing when it comes to the playoffs.
The good news is the teams that aren't on the bubble. I mean, how many of these
Madison teams? Madison County, man.
You're good. Orange County, you're
Madison's
good.
Madison needs to hold on to a home playoff game. I don't know that they necessarily have to beat Clark to do it, but that's a tall task. Clark, we saw what happened when Clark ran into Wayman Road earlier this year. It's a really good football team, really good football program, and they got to go up there, I think, to do it. Mm-hmm. I think Madison does. So tough matchup for them, but if they somehow pulled that one off, who knows how high they could jump. Clark's third in that region right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Madison looking to hold on to that home game, you know, by hook or by crook, they want to hold on to that sucker. And then Goochland, we didn't even talk about Goochland.
Yeah, last but not least.
That's the highest seeded team. Got to talk about the Bulldogs.
They're
done. They're off this week. They can hit the lounge chairs. They won't because they're Goochland. There's no chance of that, but they can take a break, they get a chance to heal up, and then they jump into the thing. The big one for them to watch this week is Stewart's Draft versus Riverheads. Two 9-0 teams going on. If Draft wins that, maybe they jump Goochland. Like, it really doesn't matter. Goochland's going to be a one or a two.
And the way the cross-bracketing works, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not a huge deal. They're not going to have to play that team to get into the state final. They could be seeing each other anyway. So really exciting to see Goochland pull off a 10-0 campaign, only unbeaten team in the area. I mean, that's...
First time they've done it since 2011.
Yeah.
That was a magical run that...
Led to an even better run in 12.
Yeah. Yeah, they won the state title in 12. I think they finished 10-2 that year. They were 13-1 in 2011.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's two great years. And, again, we've talked about it. You wrote about it. You know, a team that doesn't have... I mean, they got some star power. Don't get me wrong. Cordell Maddox is a good... he is a football player. As good a two-way player as exists in the area, especially at the skill positions. Fantastic player. And I love Marcus Burton. I think Marcus Burton can really play. We maybe haven't seen the best of Tanner Bradshaw yet, and he's been pretty good.
I think
good.
We got a whole bunch of tricks up sleeves when it comes
Guzan
to
Guzan has been able to just tinker. They've been in there. They've been in that workshop.
They're playing in the lab for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a lot of fun. And Calvin Martin, another guy who's a great two-way player, always makes a lot of plays defensively. You know, really good. And then, you know, we've talked about their defensive ends and stuff before.
That line play on both sides of the ball is really good. It's as good as it gets in 2A.
Really, congratulations to Goochland on quite a campaign. And we didn't have to talk about him because this is about playoff teams that are playing for position, jockeying for position. But Goochland is good to go, and the horses are in the barn. Goochland's
that really good Kentucky team that knows they're the number one overall seed. They're watching the selection.
You don't sweat the SEC tournament when you're the number one seed. You don't worry about it. Like, whatever. Last week of the season, don't worry.
The camera gets on them, and they don't really react. They're like, okay, yeah, that's where we're supposed to be.
All right, yeah, we're good. Goochland, congratulations. Heck of a year, and a lot more to come probably from that squad. So, really looking forward to this week. Big moving week for everybody. And then we jump into the playoffs, which is really exciting. So thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And we'll be back next week with a full tilt playoff preview.